Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm John Batchelor with Patrick Scanlon. His book is Rot. It's about the peculiar abuse of Ireland over several hundred years by the English conquerors, both the Protestants and the mixed post-Protestant England. But at this point, there was a reputation the Irish had that is, you think later on, well, all right, this is a rounded story. And that's what Patrick's telling, a rounded story. The opinion in London was that the Irish were violent and lawless, and that if you went there, you better have bodyguards. And if you were collecting rent, it was dangerous. Is that all correct, Patrick?
Yeah. I mean, Ireland was a really, the Irish countryside was pretty volatile. And there were, you know, there was an instrument that was put in place early under the Act of Union called the Coercion Acts, which were laws that could be passed by the by Parliament in London that would then dramatically restrict civil rights in Ireland in order to pass through what was judged by Parliament to be a crisis.
And this is in addition to the laws against the Catholics. This is
well, those had been laws. The laws that restricted Catholic practice and that restricted Catholic landowning were abolished in 1829. So, you know, almost two decades after, almost three decades after the Union. But the Coercion Acts were designed to kind of give the British state in Ireland, in the figure of the Lord Lieutenant, who was the kind of chief executive of British power in Ireland.
At Dublin Castle.
At Dublin Castle, kind of, they would give the Lord Lieutenant the power to declare certain districts of the country to be under, to like suspend habeas corpus, to permit not summary judgment, but at least like summary, like searching of premises and seizing of people. Like they were ways of kind of suspending the usual rules of civil law, because the countryside could be very volatile. And there were a lot of feuds and a lot of violence. The euphemism that was used in the British press was outrages, right? So when they described, when you see, if you're reading a 19th century newspaper and you see outrages in the countryside mentioned, that means, either, an arson, you know, or a murder or an assault on a landlord or a landlord's agent or on another tenant. And that those outrages continued during the famine. They ramped up, especially in the first wave of the famine in 1846, 1847. You know, and as Ireland descended deeper into and towards starvation, they got worse. And so, yeah, there was certainly violence in the countryside and in the depths of the famine. You know, anytime, you know, when wages were being paid out at the public works, they would be sent out in two identical carts, one that had the money in it and one that was empty to kind of offer a decoy, right? This was a very, unsettled and for many people, like very dangerous landscape. And that danger wasn't just to British officials or to wealthier Irish people. It was dangerous for everyone, right? Like especially in the depths of the famine.
You talk about the paying of rent. I'm glad you remind me. Ireland didn't have any cash around. Why not? Where did it go?
So Ireland, I mean, generally Britain had very little cash, right? It's interesting too, because there's just relatively little circulating money, in the United Kingdom at this time. A lot of the money that circulates is, you know, if you were going to pay for something in the early 19th century, you know, you would get, if you had money drawn on the Bank of England, you could basically spend it at its face value. So if you had £5 drawn in the Bank of England on a note, right, you could spend that as though it were £5. But a lot of the money that was circulating in Ireland was drawn on other merchants or on smaller banks or on individuals. So let's say I had, you know, 5 pounds drawn on a merchant in Dublin, and I was in Cork trying to buy a horse, let's say, my 5 pounds wouldn't be worth 5 pounds because that paper that I had would be discounted by the person accepting the money, because they weren't sure whether or not it could actually be redeemed for the value that was printed on it. Right. So there was very little circulating, money of any kind in Ireland. A lot of the stuff that was circulating were IOUs and other forms of often individualized debt. Which wouldn't be necessarily a problem because that's what happened in England as well. And in the early Republic and in the kind of late colonial United States as well, right? These are not places where there's tons of sort of government issued specie or paper being circulated. But in Ireland, that absence of circulating money was treated as evidence of a lack of civilization, in part because one of the key points are one of the key examples for Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations for the relative developing economic civilization of a country is the degree to which it uses abstract instruments to represent monetary value. So for Smith, right, barter is like the kind of first form of economics where people exchange goods without really a sense of their monetary value. You know, they just exchange it based on their needs. And there's for Smith, there's a kind of increasing, there's level after level of increasing sophistication and abstraction. So next it's just using gold, and then it's using gold pieces, and then it's using paper money that represents gold, and then it's using debt. And so for Smith, you know, that was represented civilization, and that idea of civilization circulated widely as well. So the absence of circulating money in Ireland was taken as further evidence of a lack of civilization in the Irish countryside.
There were remedies offered, and when we come back, the soup kitchens. The book is Rot, an imperial history of the Great Famine of Ireland. Patrick Scanlon is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.